Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Amen.
In today's Alleluia verse, we heard our Lord's words. He said, whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him. John 14:23. It got me thinking that most of us, pretty much all of us here, I'm guessing, know in our heads that God loves us, but not everyone knows that in their heart. All right, so the question that we can ask today, and we'll try to resolve in the next 8 minutes, which we might not be able to do, is how do we fix that disconnect? How do we put what we know in our heads into our hearts? Well, the first thing we always want to do is we want to pray and ask the Lord for whatever we need or for whatever we desire. We know Jesus says, ask and you shall receive, he says in Matthew 7:7. So we first want to ask the Lord for the grace to harmonize our heads and our hearts, our minds and our hearts, for the grace to have the truth guide our thoughts, and at the same time to be able to entrust our hearts to the Lord. When we pray and ask the Lord for that, sometimes he will surprise us with his answer. He likes surprising his children in a good way. And so we should keep that in mind. Any good parent likes to surprise their children. So at times when we pray to our Lord to ask him for the grace to connect our minds and our hearts, sometimes he'll surprise us in his answer. Secondly, we want to try to understand maybe why our heads and our hearts don't line up at times. Sometimes it's due to the fact that our hearts are wounded. They're either wounded from childhood or how we were raised, or wounded from bad relationships or bad or traumatic experiences. Could be the result of an overly rigid or unloving upbringing, or just painful messages that people receive about themselves and they play over and over again in their minds, or other things like that. There's a reason why our heart isn't where our head is. At times we may even build up a wall around our hearts as a means of protection. People will usually do that. One of the problems is that when we do that, we can also wall out God at the same time, which we don't want to do. When we're older and more mature, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to bring and to begin to actually tear down that wall that we may have created around our heart. Very often, in order to heal from the past, we have to be willing to stop and reflect. We have to be willing to revisit and even face the past. So not live in the past or dwell on it, but revisit the past. We have to acknowledge the hurtful things that were done to us or the dysfunctional way in which we were raised. We have to process those things in a healthy way. Thirdly, sometimes we also need to give ourselves time to grieve. We know the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 4, said there's a time to weep and a time to mourn. So we shouldn't be afraid to grieve over and even cry over the hurts of the past at times. We know St. John says that Jesus wept, right? John 11:35, Jesus wept. So if it's okay for him to do it, it's okay for us to do it at times as well. It can be even helpful to talk out some of these difficult things with a good counselor or with a wise person so that we can kind of get them out of our system, as it were, instead of always just keeping them buried inside of us or just wrestling with them on our own. So those things from the past that we'd like to forget about, maybe just leave buried in the past, sometimes we have to bring them to the light. Sometimes we have to bring them to the Lord and ask for healing. As Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 17:14, he says, heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Part of the healing, of course, is fourthly that we have to truly forgive those people who've hurt us and also release them to the Lord, not holding on to bitterness or resentment. Holding on to bitterness or resentment is like holding on to a porcupine. If you do that, it's going to be hurtful. It's not going to be pleasant in any way. Not a pleasant experience. The Apostle Paul says to us in Ephesians 4:31-32, he says, all bitterness, fury, anger, shouting, and reviling must be removed from you, along with all malice. He says, be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving one another, as God has forgiven you in Christ. So we have to let go of bitterness and resentment, and it takes humility to be able to do that at times. Sometimes we'll hear people say, well, I have forgiven them, but they still haven't received healing from those past experiences, so they need to go through a process of healing still. Fifthly, it can also be helpful to recognize how our past shaped or maybe even distorted our understanding of God and of ourselves too. If the truth sets us free, as Jesus says in John 8:32, then it's lies that keep us in bondage. Lies about who we are, lies about who God is, lies about how we are to live or who or what we need to depend on. We need to identify the lies or the half-truths about God and even about ourselves that we still keep in our minds, in our hearts, that still keep us from experiencing God's peace. And we need to replace those distorted or unhealthy thoughts with what is true from God's perspective. God, we know, wants his children to focus on his good side, to see and understand him in his goodness, his love, his mercy, his compassion, his patience, his kindness, his forgiveness. We've spoken about that before. We've spoken about correcting any distorted views of God that we might have in other reflections, but we'll just reiterate that point here and add that we also need to learn to see ourselves through God's merciful and loving eyes as well. The apostle says in Romans 15:7, he says, accept one another as Christ has accepted you. And the Greek word that's used there for accept also means welcome as well. So God accepts you, he welcomes you. We really need to learn to take that to heart. We need to remind ourselves continually of God's unconditional love and of his compassion for us. When we think of the Lord, that's how we should think of him. And that's very helpful emotionally as well. It helps us emotionally to be in a better place, since our emotions are directly tied with our thinking, directly connected with what we're thinking. What your thoughts are thinking has a direct influence on your emotions and on how you're feeling. It's one of the reasons why the apostle says in Philippians 4:8, he says to focus on what is good in our thoughts, not on what is unhealthy or negative. Sixth suggestion that we have today is that we learn to speak to God from our hearts. Jesus says in Revelation 2:23, he says, I am the searcher of hearts and minds. And he criticizes the Pharisees and scribes in Matthew 7:6. He says, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. One of his main criticisms. We need to learn to share with the Lord what's on our heart, because that's how you build an intimate relationship with someone, by sharing with them what's in your heart. Even if our hearts are hurt or empty or lonely or sad or confused or numb, we need to share them with Jesus. The Lord reveals and shares his heart with us all the more when we begin to do the same with him, when we share our hearts with him. And the seventh and the last suggestion that we'll offer today is that we can pray and ask the Lord to send godly people into our lives that will encourage and strengthen us, which is very important. The apostle says in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, he says, encourage one another and build each other up. Encouragement is from God. Discouragement is never from him. It's never from God. We all need encouragers, and so also that brings us back to our first point when we said we need to pray to Jesus. Ask and you shall receive. We need to ask for encouragers in our life. Ask the Lord and he will send you people who will help build up your spirit rather than tear it down. It's true that the Lord works best with broken instruments, that's true. But it doesn't mean that he wants us to stay broken, meaning that he doesn't want us to continue not to be able to take to heart his grace and goodness and love and mercy. God is a God of hope, a God of healing, and a God of transformation. And that's what he wants us to be able to experience and embrace. So today let's ask our Blessed Mother for the grace to not only know God's love in our heads, in our minds, but also to know God's love in our hearts as well. Because when we know God's love in our hearts, then it transforms us. It really does. And it becomes much easier to respond to him and to others in love when I know how to receive the love that he has for me. Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Now.